Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Little Things Are Big Things Education Podcast with T-Free and
K-Dub.
And we're coming to you live right before summer break, so let's get to it. So we're coming to you one last time before we get into summer break. And our big idea for you is take some time for summer break. Actually, take the time off. Don't keep working. Yes. And the importance of recharging here and taking a little bit of self-care. So, K-Dub, what do you got for us?
I mean, for me, I think that idea of, completely unplug as much as you can from school for a little bit. Like, for me, my wife and I, we're going to the coast, literally – the next morning we're going to get up and drive to the Oregon coast, which is beautiful. If you haven't been, please stay away. It's getting too busy. But I mean, in all seriousness, it's just that immediate, hard stop, just completely decompress and get things, off your plate and kind of not be in this mode. And I think especially after this year with everything that all of us have been through, that's probably even more important.
Right. So we actually are in summer right now from Kentucky. So 100%. As soon as I turned my grades in, I was done with school. We had a couple of softball games left that I was doing the announcing and music for. So I was still connected with the kids a little bit for about one more week. But then as soon as we were done with that, boom, we packed the car. We drove out to Washington, and I'm back actually out at my folks' house. So we've been hanging here, enjoying actually beautiful weather the first few days. Raining today, but getting on the lake. Recharging the batteries already, hanging out with family and friends, so it's been good.
And eight dogs now, people. Eight dogs. Eight,
yes, our four plus my parents three plus my aunts one.
Great, and all high energy. I love it. Yeah, so I think that's the first thing is take some time away, give yourself a chance to decompress and recharge, whatever that looks like for you. We all have our different things that help us kind of get resettled and feeling ready to get back going. And then for me, Tim, I know we used to work on the fireworks stand together, and I don't have that anymore. I know you still do, but
I keep trying to get you out year after year.
So. I know. I appreciate the attempts. I kind of set July 5th as my until that weekend after the 4th. I just won't even, I try not to even think about school.
Right.
Do you have a similar timeline that you set yourself, or is it a little bit more free flowing?
Well, you know I've always got a side hustle going. So, yeah, usually, especially when I was out West Coast and we were done with school just before 4th of July, I would immediately go from school into entrepreneur mode, right? I'm going to make sure we have the staff ready, that we're kind of game planning for a season here. And so then once 4th of July is done, it turns into birthday week, because my parents' birthdays are July 7th and 8th. My birthday is the 14th. So it's we throw and celebrate birthdays for basically a week after the 4th of July. And then we usually take a couple weeks to just kind of chill and relax. And then it's Seafair. And so we throw one more big party. And then, now we're into August. And, when we're coaching, football's starting back up. And that's usually about the time I'll start to kind of game plan a little bit for school. So. What's something we can leave people with before we get back in August with some more specific details for people?
Yeah, so we're going to come back in August and do some beginning of the year planning things specific to for you all to think about. I would say in the interim, there's a couple things that you might think about doing, and I'm sure Tim will have some other ideas to add. My first would be, I know this was a really weird year for all of us, and there are probably things about this year. I would say do this before you do you go into your decompress, don't think anymore, but start writing down a list of things that you want to keep that were new or different, things that you don't want to keep, and maybe start really thinking about as well, I keep using that term new normal, right? What do you want the new normal to be like? And kind of think through all of those things and make sure that you actually write that down or put it on a Google Doc or wherever you're actually going to remember to look at it again, and have that available for when you're done decompressing so that you can review that before you get started with any of the other things that I'm about to talk about. And so I will just caveat Having been a head football coach for 5 of the last 6 years, I learned pretty quickly that if I did not get a lot of work done during the summer in advance of the fall, I was going to be underwater and just really, really struggling with doing my job as a teacher and really being what my students needed me to be. So like that first year of being a head coach, like thank God for Nancy Dotson and Colin White and the other people that I had at Canyon Park Junior High to help me survive the complete lack of preparedness that I had. I mean, I did some things, but not enough. So what I've done since then, and even the year that I wasn't a head coach, I still did this because I thought it was really valuable to have to get ahead of things and allow my brain to be super focused on the kids that those first few weeks. And that is like I'll set 1 week and I'll start kind of double checking what units do I actually want to do, thinking about any edits that I want to make. For a couple of years, I had a really great English teacher that I worked with. We shared all the same students, and her and I would meet and we would talk about, okay, we want to drop this project, add this project, do this thing. Like we would kind of map things out, like really big picture, think through some of those things. And then I would start putting like 1 month day-to-day plan together each week so that by the time August rolled around, I usually had the whole first semester, like every day, I knew what I was teaching, right? Like I would have my connection activity, my direct instruction, and like any assignments or anything that were coming up. And then that would at least allow me when we got into fall to only have to think about how to make the slide for tomorrow, right? Or how to, to get the reading printed, right? Like the readings were in the Google file for the unit on philosophy. And then I just had to make copies. I didn't have to think about what I was doing or what I was going to be handing out or anything like that.
Right. No, I love that game prepping for like a semester or even like a super loose for a year. Cause like in math specifically, I don't know the rest of the subject standards, but like there's an abundance of things we're supposed to teach in a school year. And so like, I remember the first year I was doing it and I did not really game plan for the year. And I was like, oh yeah, we'll just, you know, go at the tempo of the kids. We'll be good. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm supposed to teach another 3 units in 3 weeks to finish out the school year. Oh no. You know? And so like having that, and for me, like I had to go back and adjust it. Right. And there's still the, okay, kids didn't get this. I got to reteach this in a different way. Like there was always flexibility to it, but like, having a rough idea that, okay, I've got 2 weeks for this, I've got 3 weeks for this, I've got like 7 days for this, and then, oh no, I'm going to run out of time at this tempo. Okay, let's pull a day here, let's pull a day here, and then at least it's a rough ballpark so that at the end of the year, maybe I'm trying to cram like a unit and a half in those 3 weeks, not 3 units, you know, like, so yes, there's going to be moments where I feel like I am still going too fast because I'm trying to teach all the content, but at least I had a slightly accelerated tempo throughout the entire year because I knew what tempo was going to be required before the year even started. So that was helpful. And something you mentioned as we were just kind of game planning before this, that I thought is brilliant. And I didn't even think about it, but it's so true. the idea of being able to do some of this prep work for that first, at least 2-3 weeks of school allows us to actually have our brain present to learn student names and how huge that is for connection with our students. Mm-hmm. So, this prep work in the summer allows us to actually get that initial connection with students so much better because we're not trying to overload ourselves. So I wanted to bring that up and give you credit for that because it's a brilliant observation.
Yeah, it's been a big thing for me. And I think part of it is like we finished off a couple episodes ago talking about how we're not very good at, we're like multitasking isn't a real thing, right? And the beginning of the school year is the ultimate in the time period for asking teachers to multitask. And so if you can get some of that tasking done in advance, then you're more ready to connect with your kids and be there to really learn about them. And that's really what you and I, right, that was the whole impetus for this whole thing is starting that off. One other thing I forgot to mention, if you're not doing this already, definitely do an end of the year survey with your kids. Yes. About what they liked and didn't like about your class. I'm happy to share the one that I use with everyone as a free resource. It's very specific to my class, obviously, but like those kinds of questions and gathering that feedback. And one thing that I would encourage anyone who's doing that to do. Not every kid's going to take the opportunity to do it, but if you can share with or ask every student to actually write, like, why did you say that was your favorite unit? Or what about the way that I posted things on Canvas worked or didn't work, right? Like, explain your answer, because that will allow you to really utilize that feedback and think about, again, don't look at it after you've turned in grade, right? Save it for whenever you're ready to start dipping your toe in the water for a couple minutes or a couple hours each week. That's a really good thing to have to look at and really have at the tip of your brain is what worked for my student last year.
Right. I think the last piece I will probably throw in is when you're in that mode where you're trying to really let yourself decompress and disappear for a couple of weeks and really recharge, still keep like a journal or a note section in your phone or something. Because as much as I've tried to turn off, like, I still have stuff that's always flowing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, yeah, I'll go to the grocery store and, like, something that, like, on, like, a box makes me think of a math question. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, there it is. This will be fun, you know? And, like, I don't want to think about it and plan it then, but, like, I'll take a picture of the cereal box or whatever it is that sparked this, like, idea, make the note, and then shut the notebook, right? But if I don't make the note right then to go back and circle back to later, I'm not going to remember it in 6 weeks when I do circle back. So keep that journal like next to your bed in case you dream about teaching. Brain dump. Or if you're in the grocery store, you know, like have that note section on your phone so you can take the picture, make a quick note, and have it for you later.
That is a really great idea. I know that I constantly think that I have light bulb moments and then I'm not great at tracking them. So I forget them and I'm like trying to recover them. So that's a great tip for everyone. And then I think my last tip for everyone, I mentioned like working with the ELA teacher that I was partnered with for a few years. If you are in a building or if it's a personal goal of yours in the future to collaborate with another group of teachers, whether it's subject alike or cross curricula, you can actually get yourself into a little bit of trouble, or at least I have, if you get too far into your planning. Because if you show up to collaborate and you've already planned your whole first semester, it becomes really hard to be a good sharer of ideas and have like, because you've already got like these things that you're attached to. So my other encouragement would be if that's something that you're interested in doing, and I'm actually already pushing some of the guys in my and gal in my social studies department that teach the same curriculum as I do to like make sure that we set a couple of dates to go get coffee or other beverages together and just chat about what we think next year might look like so that I'm not arriving with a set idea, because then I know that what happens to me at least is I arrive with an agenda of like, well, this is what I want to do. So it can be hard to get other teachers to necessarily want to like sit down and do work in July. So I would say if you can get them to hang out with you and have it be more of like a relaxed situation, that's how the ELA teacher Ray and I, we would always just go and get coffee in the morning, like once a week, every week in July, and kind of get things taken care of that way. If you can do that, great. And if you can't, just be really like 10,000 degrees of altitude with your planning so that when you do meet with people, you have ideas, but not plans, because it's harder to let go of a plan than it is to let go of an idea.
Love it. Love it. Well, we want to say a big thank you and shout out for joining us for season 1 and hanging out. We'd love your feedback and info. If you want to be a part of season 2, we're going to come back and try to get a couple more interviews involved with that season as well. Please send us emails, posts on social media, all the things, and we're going to continue to grow this thing. So thank you for being a part of it and always learning a Peak State.
Make it a great day. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Have an awesome summer. See ya.